Okay. Let me ask a simple question before we read the first Bible reading. Anybody ready for this question? Are you ready? Are you ready, church?
Yes.
Come on. Children, are you ready for this question? Adults, are you ready for this question? Okay, the question is this. What is the difference between God's love and God's blessing? Maybe there's no difference. Maybe there's a difference. I like to know. But when, don't just say, you know, simple answer. Give a reason. What is the difference between God's love and God's blessing? Okay? Starting from the youngest with hands up. Let's see that. Lucas, did you have your hands up? Did you want to say something? Not yet. Yes? Oh, no. Okay. Yes? What's the difference between God's love and God's blessing?
Because God loves everybody.
God loves everybody. Listen to that.
But he only blesses the people that serve him.
But he only blesses the people that serve him. Remember, put your hands together for Kevin. I like that answer. Okay. Anybody who can improve on that. What is the difference between God's love and God's blessing? Kevin said, God loves everybody. And we know that from John 3:16. He said, for God so loved what? The world. But God blesses only those who serve him. Yes, any better answer? I'm looking for a better answer, not in a different direction. Yes, children first.
You don't have to work for God's love.
You don't have to work for God's love.
But a blessing has to be earned.
Blessing has to be earned. Yes, that's still consistent with what Kevin has said. It's not much better. It's the same. But it's a good answer. Okay? It's a good answer. So you get a bonus prize for that. Yes, any better answer? Adults now. Adults. Yes? What's the difference between God's love and God's blessing?
God's love, in all instances, is unconditional.
God's love is unconditional. And like Kevin said, that's not better yet because Kevin said God loves everybody.
Well, whereas God's blessing, in some instances, is conditional.
In fact, in most instances, if you read the Bible well, in most instances, God said, if you do this, then you sign the Old Testament. If I list, in fact, what we read today, the same thing. You know, he that sows generously, it will be blessings. Okay, that's right. Not superbly better. Okay? So the price still goes down, but it's a very good answer. Very good. Yes? Sorry, I go to Sister PJ first. Difference between God's love and God's blessing.
So, based on what Kevin said, God loves everyone.
God loves everyone.
God blesses everyone.
God blesses everyone.
However, the level of the blessings you get will be dependent on how obedient you are to God.
Okay, so in that case, God doesn't bless everyone.
No, he blesses everyone, but then some are more blessed than others.
Okay, some are more blessed than others. Okay, any other answer? So that we can move on. Any other answer? God's love. God's blessing. What's the difference? Or are they the same? Brother Gideon, final answer here.
I think, just to improve first on that, God loves everybody.
God loves everybody.
But he blesses those who walk according to his ways.
But he blesses those who walk according to his will. Yes, I like that. And I take that as a bit better. Okay? Because the Bible says, yeah, that blessed is the man, Psalm 1. Who walks not according to the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the mockers or scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that law day and night. And then he said, he shall be like a tree. Hallelujah. So I will give you that price, £1, because it was better. And I'll give Kevin that price, because at your level, that's right. And then I will do some explanation. There you go. Amen? Now, let me just... I know there can be confusion about that because I know that for some people, God's love is the same as God's blessing. Maybe what I'll just say is that God's love is the basis for God's blessing. Yeah? So that's the connection between them. God's love. There's nothing you can ultimately deserve by yourself. Yeah? There's nothing God does for you that you can say, I fully earned it. So everything God does for you starts from his love. Amen? But I tell you where what you do matters. This is my answer. God loves you because of who he is. God is love. Amen? But God blesses you according to how you respond to his love. Amen? Love demands response. Amen? No matter how much I love you, yeah, my loving you was my choice. Amen? Your response to my love is your choice. Amen? God loves you because of who he is. But God blesses you according to how you respond to his love. Amen? I hope that's a good answer. Let me just say a bit more about that. God's love provides the blessing, but it's man's faith and obedience that downloads the blessing. God's love provides the blessing. Amen? God is good. But it's your obedience, your faith and obedience that downloads the blessing. Hallelujah. So it's not just enough to say, I'm blessed. You can say, I'm blessed from now till eternity. If you don't obey God, you are not what? You're not truly blessed. You're just blessed potentially. You'll not be blessed in actual experience. Amen? Let me give you another one there. God's love, because God's love loves everyone. God's love provides mercy. Mercy is available to everyone. Do you know that? Do you know mercy is available to everyone? Verse 8, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, whosoever believes the name should not what? Perish. But God's love provides mercy and compassion. Amen? But, there's always a but. But, it's man's faith and obedience that maximizes the fullness of grace. You will never enter the fullness of grace without faith and obedience. Amen? If all your life you just want to live, do your own thing, go your own way, you'll be getting mercy from time to time. Huh? You know, the Bible says it's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not what? That means that God, if God took his mercy away today, we will all be consumed. Nobody is going to be good enough. Amen? But if that's where you want to stay, you'll be getting the minimum possible. Hallelujah. But if you want the best that God has for you in life, you need faith. Say, I need faith. And I need obedience. Say, I need obedience. Clap for me as pastor. You know, nobody claps for me. Every time I say, clap for. Bro, Tim is looking at me. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Can I show you a Bible verse for that? It's very simple. The one you know. Hebrews 11:6. It said, without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. No matter how much God loves you, God loving you does not mean you please him. I know there's a song we sing. He said, you're a good father and I know that you are pleased. No. It's not God's love that pleases. God loves you, but it's your own response that pleases him. Are you with me? It's your response. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now listen. He said, whoever comes to God must believe that God exists and he is what? A rewarder. God is what? A rewarder of what? God is what? A rewarder. Don't ever forget it. If you understand that, you understand the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about God telling you, if you do this, I will do this. If you don't do this, this will happen. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Praise the Lord. But remember, mercy is available to all. When I miss it, yeah? When I fall short, when I do what I shouldn't have done. Amen? God's love will not still reject me. Amen? All he wants, but again, God will try to help me. But not until I come to him and say, I will say, whoever covers his sin will not prosper. But he will confess it and forsake them. What will they have? They will have mercy. So you have, see, I have access to mercy all the time. And that's very reassuring. It's like your insurance policy. Because one day or the other, you will fall short. One day or the other, you will what? You will fall short. You will need mercy. Not just you, me. Hallelujah. But don't stay on mercy. That's basement level. Huh? Move to the top floor of grace. You need faith and obedience for that. Amen? Okay, let's move on. So, £2 gone already. Next question. Are you ready? What happens when a person dies? These are very important questions we have to think about. I remember during the week my son was telling me, you know, like he was in school, and someone in his class just said, you know, when you die, everything is over, everything is zero, nothing happens after them. And that's at this level, 8 years old. So these are important questions. What happens when a person dies? From the youngest. Tito, come on. Yes, go on, be encouraged.
Because,
You don't know him.
Don't ever see the family again.
Oh, that's true, but that's not so nice, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, that's not the nice part.
Yes.
What happens when a person dies? I'm talking about what happens to them, yeah?
They'll probably bury your body and your spirit will go to heaven or hell.
Okay, the body will be buried, but the spirit will go to heaven or hell. Yes, that's a good answer. So any other answer has to improve on it. It's a good answer. I banged it. Yes, youngest. Let me look. Yes. What happens when a person dies?
When the person dies, they go up and get judged by God, and
they go up.
Yes, and if they've done good things in their life and followed God, they will get judged into heaven because there are high places in heaven and low places in heaven.
Okay.
And then they.
Okay, so she said they will go up and get judged, and there are high places and low places in heaven. Yes, that's a good answer, but it's not better. Yes. What happens when a person dies? Yes.
When a person dies, if they've done good in their life, they might go to heaven.
Done good, they might go to heaven. Yes.
Or if they've done a little bit of bad stuff that God doesn't like, they might go to hell.
If they've done a little bit of bad stuff that God doesn't like, they may go to hell. Yeah, that's a fair answer. It's fair enough. Okay, it's fair. I won't build on that, but it's fair enough. Yes?
Your body gets buried.
Go.
Your body gets buried. Then
gets buried. Yes, that's what Ryan said. Yes.
And your soul goes up. You wait outside
your
the
soul,
gates.
Yes.
You get judged outside the gates of the Lord.
Yes, so your soul goes up and it will be judged. Okay. Does everybody's soul go up? You think everybody's soul goes up? You don't think any soul goes down?
Yeah, well, they all go up. But
all the souls go up.
No, they go wait outside the gates.
You don't believe
the
they
Lord.
Go down.
But if you've done evil, you get
they wait outside
down.
The gates. All right.
If you've done evil, you get sent down.
Thank you. You shed some light there, but yeah. So you believe all the souls go up. Okay. One final answer. You crying got the bank the prize already. You're only trying to improve. You can't improve, you won't get it.
First of all, when you die, your body gets left on earth, or your spirit goes up to be judged by
God. It goes up, okay? Yeah.
To be judged by God. Mm-hmm. And
is the judgment immediate?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's fine. That's a good answer. You're not finished?
No.
Okay.
And after that, you get judged on the things you've done on earth.
Yes. Yeah.
They're bad. If you don't have faith in God, your reactions to God's love and all that stuff,
okay.
And you get to be judged to either be put in hell or heaven.
Okay, all right. I think the summary of what he said is still what Ryan said. Okay, you have to do better or less. Leave it. I need to stop.
If you've loved and served God faithfully.
If you've loved and served God faithfully.
When it comes to the rapture, your spirit will go up.
What about before the rapture? When if someone dies before the rapture?
You wait to be done.
Where will they be waiting?
In heaven's
bosom. Come on, give me that answer. Where will they be waiting?
In heaven's bosom.
In heaven? Heaven's bosom. Everybody who dies before the rapture, whether believer or unbeliever, will be waiting in heaven. No, I don't think so. Yeah, but okay. But what you're saying is that after the rapture, then there will be... Okay, good. Okay, I'll give that prize to Ryan. You know why? Because his answer was very simple and straightforward. Can you put your hands together for Ryan? And I will explain. So Ryan has said to us that when a person dies, I give Tito a bonus answer for what his answer, because that's very realistic and practical. And I know that he knows what he's saying. When a person dies, their body remains on the earth, is buried in whichever way, they are no longer in that body. Because what we read today, he said, whether we are at home in the body or absent from the body, that tells me that the body is not the real you. The body is your house, your earthly house. The real you is the person inside that body. Like we explained last week, you need your body to operate on the earth. If you don't have a body, you lose your right to operate on the earth. And that's why you need to take good care of your body. And that's why your body needs to be in good health. And that's why God has provided for good health for your body. Because God himself needs your body. If your body is not in a good frame, you can't do the purpose of God as he would like it. So when a person dies, they leave their body. So the real person is not the body. Amen? You know, like many times, you know, our ladies, we love you, but the men also do it. You spend a lot of effort beautifying your body. I'm not against that. But I wish you would spend more effort beautifying your inner man. Because eventually that body, you will leave it. That's not the real you. The inner man, you can beautify with humility and good works. That is the one that is of great value. That's what Peter was saying. But the soul and the spirit live. Okay, let me give my answers. I've given the price. I'll give you my answer. So, when a person dies, their soul and spirit, their body is left behind. Their soul and spirit will go to either God's heaven or the devil's hell. Just a minute. Question? Okay, I will take a question. Yes?
How do you beautify your soul? Like, do you pray for God to beautify?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. How do you beautify your soul? Yeah? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? The word of God cleanses your soul. It renews it. You understand? And it's not based on what you knew yesterday. The reason is because every day you are going to the world. Whether you like it or not, the world is corrupting you. Every time you interact with someone, what they say, yeah, how they behave, they all have influence on you. That's why you need to go back to the word to wash away all those dirty things that the world is trying to make you adopt. The word beautifies your soul. And you know a beautiful soul. You know what you find in a beautiful soul? Good character. You know the best character, the greatest character? Humility and patience. The greatest character. Amen? If you have humility and patience, you can follow God easily. Amen? So it's the word of God that beautifies your soul. Praise the Lord. Okay, go back to that question. When a person dies, they will go to either God's heaven or the devil's hell. Immediately. We can prove it. You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus? When they died, rich man went to torment. Lazarus went to paradise. Abraham's bosom is paradise. You know how we know it's immediate? Because rich man said, "Can you send Lazarus back to go and warn my brothers?" Eh? They were still living on the earth, alive. Amen? God does not need to try you before determining your final destination. You know why? A judge will only try if they don't know the facts. God knows all the facts. Amen? The moment a person dies, they check in to either heaven or hell. Because the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? So I want you to understand, the story has shown us clearly. You know, there's no doubt about it. When you read that story, rich man and Lazarus, it's an immediate thing. And believers, Fechi, are you there? Believers go up. Unbelievers go down. Hell is down. And heaven is up. Yeah? Hebrews, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Read it. Hebrews 9:27. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Yes? Anybody? Anyone who has not spoken today? Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. Please read it.
And just as each person is destined to die once.
Just as each person is destined to die. How many times?
Once.
Then what happens straight after?
And after that comes judgment.
After that comes what? Judgment. You can't pray for a dead person that God should change them from hell to heaven. Hello? Someone has died. When I say died, I mean they fully died. You know, some people die and they are resurrected. But someone has died, they're gone. They are not coming back to earth. Their eternal destiny is fixed. You can't change it. Question? Yes?
You said the believers go up and the
believers go up.
Yeah, and the unbelievers
they go down.
So. But where are they judged?
We will come to that. Yeah, very smart girl. Yes, very smart lady. We'll come to that. Okay, sorry. Let me just explain. This is the part. That's the part we know. This is the part we don't know. The judgment, the destination is immediate. The judgment is not immediate. They're just waiting. So who said waiting here? Yeah. But it's not waiting like waiting in, you know, no. The believers have died today. They're in heaven. It's a place of comfort and rest. But they are waiting. They are not yet rewarded. Yeah, waiting in heaven. But they have not yet, their works have not been tried. They are not yet rewarded. They are going to wait until the number is complete. And the people in hell too, yeah, they are waiting for final judgment. Hell is not a nice place. The hell there is actually like down below. It is a place of torment and regret, because although they are waiting, they know what's coming. And the people in heaven also know what's coming. But the people in heaven have not been rewarded for their works yet until the resurrection. And the people in hell too, they have not been given their final punishment until the resurrection. The hell under the ground is not the same as the lake of fire. Okay? The hell is a place in the very deepest part of the earth. It's a place of torment and regret, but it's not the lake of fire. Because if you read Revelation 20, it said they will be cast into the lake of fire after resurrection. Okay? Now, if you don't get it, just go back and check your Bible. It's right there. All right. Let's move on. Aha. Actually, you went ahead of me. So when does the final judgment occur? Two questions. And will believers and unbelievers be judged together? Again, just listen very carefully. When does the final judgment, I'm talking about is the one that comes with a sentence. You know that, for example, in the legal system, yeah, a criminal can be tried and then remanded in prison for future sentencing. Huh? That's what happens to people who go to hell when they die. They are being remanded in hell for a future sentence. Huh? You with me? They're in custody. In devil's custody. It's not a nice one. Amen? So the question is this. When does judgment happen? When exactly? Okay, we said it's future. And then do believers and unbelievers get judged together? Because just like you watch some movies and they show you everybody will match straight line to the throne and say, okay, you go to heaven, you go to. Okay? Let's have some answers. Everybody's looking a little more serious now. Yes?
I think judgment will be after the reign of Jesus, heaven on earth.
Then judges will be one?
After, you know, the Antichrist comes.
Which judgment? Will believers and unbelievers be judged together first? That's yes or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. So which of them will be after the reign of Christ on earth?
I think the believers.
Okay. And which one of them will be before? I've confused you.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Let's read the Bible and then we take that question again. Revelation 20. Open to Revelation 20. Just a minute. I'll come to the children actually. Sorry. Revelation 20. We read it earlier today. Revelation 20. Can you please open there and let's clarify this fact of when the judgment will happen. So there are two judgments. The first judgment is when somebody dies. It determines whether they are going to life, eternal life, or they are going to death, eternal death. But there is a final judgment where they will be sentenced or rewarded. So one is destination, the other is status. Someone says, all I just want to do is make heaven. You can make heaven and be a servant in it, just all the eternity. You'll be serving other people that have been well rewarded. You did nothing. You'll be zero level. So that's what I call status. There is destination and there is status. So when a person dies, their destination is determined. It cannot be changed. But based on how they lived on earth, they can be rewarded or punished. Okay? Revelation 20, let's read it. Revelation 20. Verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, are you there? First of all, read for me verse 4. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. Yes, Revelation 24 to 6 first. Please follow. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. Listen.
Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given.
So some people are rulers. Yeah? Some people are rulers on thrones.
Had been given the authority to judge.
And they have authority. So that's their own reward. Yeah? Continue.
And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony about Jesus and proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on his foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned again.
They all came to life again. Yeah,
and,
continue.
And they reigned with Christ.
They reigned with Christ.
For 1,000 years.
For 1,000 years. Continue.
This is the first resurrection.
This is the first resurrection. Continue.
The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended.
So the rest of the dead. So some people are there were resurrected. You had the first resurrection. And they reigned with Christ. Amen. But blessed, the rest of the dead did not come back to life until 1,000 years after. That's all I want to say. So at least we know that from that there is a first resurrection and there is a second resurrection. And the only two. The first resurrection is the resurrection of believers. It's a resurrection unto life. The second resurrection is the resurrection of unbelievers. Is a resurrection unto the second death. Question.
Then during the 1,000 years.
During the 1,000 years.
When the unbelievers are waiting for their judgment.
Yes.
Where will they be?
In hell.
In heaven.
Hell.
Hell.
Every unbeliever is going to hell.
So they'll be waiting in hell.
Yeah, they are remanded in custody. You know the rich man and Lazarus? You know that story? The rich man and Lazarus. Do you know the story in the Bible? Of the rich man and Lazarus. Where this rich man, you know, when he died and he went there. You don't know the story. Do you know the story, Fetchy? Partially. You need to read. Let me tell you where it is. Read it. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19 to 31. You can read it straight away. Luke 16:19-21. That tells you the story. Give it to me. Thank you. The rich man is still there now. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is still waiting. You're looking so bad. Amen? Okay. Back to the question. Or let me take a question. Yes? Question? Is there a question? Yes? It's okay. I don't mind. Go.
If there is going to be a resurrection,
yes.
So those in Abraham's bosom,
yes.
So they're in heaven. Are they resurrecting from heaven? Or are they resurrecting from the earth?
No. Let me explain the resurrection to you. Amen. The resurrection. You know what I told you about spirits? I said spirits cannot die. A spirit can only change location. Huh? The resurrection is not about spirits changing location. The resurrection has to do with the body. What we mean by resurrection is that
A dead person will get a new body. Huh? So, for example, you know the only person that has been resurrected now? It's not like Lazarus. You know Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha? Jesus raised him up from the dead. It's a form of resurrection, isn't it? But he died again. Didn't he die again? Huh? So he was only raised back to a mortal body, not a new body. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't rise back into a mortal body. He rose back into what? A glorious body. That's resurrection. So the only resurrected being right now is who? Is the first fruit. He's resurrected in a new body that can never perish. And that is supernatural. You see, he ascended to heaven. Easy. Amen? So resurrection has to do with new bodies. Okay? So the people in Abraham's bosom, when Jesus died, he went there. Because I don't know whether you know that Abraham's bosom was also in that same hell. And now I'm confusing you. How come the rich man was able to see Lazarus? The rich man. How far? You look up now. Look up. No. They were there. Nobody can enter heaven without the blood of Jesus. Nobody. The people in the Old Testament, yeah? They got salvation on credit. You know, it's like when you buy something with your credit card, yeah? You have to make full payment, isn't it? So they were not in torment. They were in comfort and rest. But nobody could go up. And Jesus went there too. He went to Abraham's bosom. But when God raised him, he led a train of captives. Huh? He led the train of captives. And that's why the Bible says that some people saw their dead relatives around that time. Huh? So that Abraham's bosom changed location. Up. The only simple reason is because it was on credit before, and now the full payment has been made. You see? Okay? But that's not resurrection like we're talking about. Resurrection here is new, eternal, glorious body. That has not happened. You know when the resurrection will happen for believers? Anybody? For £1? When will the resurrection of believers happen? We call it a common name. What is the name? The rapture. Everyone put your hands together for Brother Deji. It's the rapture. The Bible says that we will not all sleep, but we will be what? We will be changed. He said the dead in Christ will rise first. And we also will what? Rise together. You know that rising? New bodies. Okay? And that's the first resurrection. Okay? Any question now before I move on? Any question? Yes?
Does God give mercy to people while they're being judged?
God's mercy is why they are alive. When someone has died, there's no more mercy. Because it's appointed to men to die once. Yes? More questions?
What's the difference between the hell and the bottomless pit?
Ah! Thank you for that one. Anybody want to answer that one? What's there between hell and the bottomless pit? Because we read in Revelation 20 that Satan was cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. What's there between hell, the one below, not lake of fire, remember, and bottomless pit? Anybody? It's a very good question. I love it. Children are not giving me their hands now. What's there between hell and bottomless pit?
So hell is like the reception area.
I was expecting that. Hell is reception area, but bottomless pit is the real office.
The main office.
Yes. I mean, that's not too bad an answer. Any other one? What's there between hell and the bottomless pit? It looks to me that the bottomless pit must be the worst. Yeah, okay. Oh, I have an idea. Finish.
I think hell is like when you commit a, for example, let me put it this way. When you commit a crime and you are judged, they put you to what they call a waiting trial, waiting before to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
When you are judged, then they remove you from the waiting trial to the prison. Now, hell is like a waiting trial, like the pastor said, where they are waiting to be judged. And after they are judged, they are removed to they'll be cast now to the bottomless pit that burned with fire and brimstone, and that is the most dangerous punishment. All unbelievable.
Okay, but Gideon, thank you for answering. There are good things there, and there are things that are not perfect. The old hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So it's not the bottom. Lake of fire is completely different from hell. Okay? So, but you are right in the sense that. Okay, let's take one more. You have some things you said that are right, yes?
I think unbelievers with crowns will go to the bottomless pit.
Unbelievers?
With most crowns, so to say.
With most crowns?
Yeah.
But Bible doesn't say that. Because Bible really says that the devil is cast into. But the Lord didn't tell us humans are put there. It's the devil.
Well, where is that not outer darkness as well?
Okay, no, it's not. Thank you. See, bottomless pit is part inside hell. It's the maximum security area. It's the bottom of the bottom. The bottomless pit is the what? The bottom of what? Of the bottom. The maximum security. That one, you know that Bible says that hell was never planned for a human being. Hell was reserved for the devil and his what? Angels. So the people you find in bottomless pit are the most wicked devils. You put them in maximum security. Huh? So when God wants to bind the devil, he put him in what? Maximum security. You know that the devils have more power than humans, yeah? I'm talking of unbelievers. So, if you want to secure them. You know that devil right now, he has access to hell, doesn't he? He has access to hell. He has access to hell. He can move about. You can just throw him in hell. He will move again. Put him in maximum security, yeah? Yeah?
So, is the bottomless pit only for the devil, no human being?
No. The hell is the whole place of what do you call it? Of custody for people who are waiting final judgment who are unbelievers. But the bottomless pit is the maximum security area, which is only for the devil and his angels. Right now, they are not bound, they are walking on the earth. Huh? They are causing people to sin. But when Jesus Christ comes to reign, in order for that reign to be totally righteous and peaceful, he will bind those devils and those angels and put them in maximum security for 1,000 years. Then after 1,000 years, it will release them again for a short time. Okay? It's all in Revelations. Yes?
In the bottomless pit, there's no one there now.
I believe there are. Not a human being. There are devils there. Not Satan. Yes, fallen angels. That's what I call devils. There are some there, but not all. The ones there right now, they committed a special offense. And God said they will never be free again. You see, when a devil is in bottomless pit, they are not free. Many devils and fallen angels are free now. They are going about causing confusion, commotion, evil. Are you with me? But some angels in the days of who? In the time of Noah and before, some angels committed a very big offense. They changed to human beings and married women. And give birth to children. It was an offense. And so now they are bound forever. They can never be free again. Let me not confuse you. One more.
The answer to the question is actually in that revelation. Because it did say that. Then I saw an angel coming down from
heaven. Revelations where, please?
We're reading from 20.
Revelations 20.
The verse 1. It said, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. So if there's a key to the bottomless pit, that means there are people in the bottomless pit.
Yeah. Not human beings, fallen angels. Yeah. Yeah. They are there. And actually, if you read earlier, Revelations 2, you will see that the Bible talks about the bottomless... No, Revelations 5 or 6, that the bottomless pit was opened. And some evil angels came out to torment at the Great Tribulation. Okay, let's stop there. Let's not go to... Time is going. I don't want to stay there, please. I don't want to stay there. Okay? So who got the answer? What was the answer? Let's move on. So let me summarize. There are two resurrections. There's the resurrection of believers. It happens at the rapture. Those who are dead in Christ and those who are alive will receive new bodies. It's straight after that they will be judged. And the judgment of believers is for rewards or loss of rewards. And then 1,000 years later, after Jesus Christ has reigned, there's the second resurrection of unbelievers. And they will be judged for punishment. Okay? Still, what will determine whether you go to heaven or hell in the first place is whether you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You will never be good enough for God in your own power. Only God can save you. And that's what he did. God became a human being. God became a human being. That's Jesus. Jesus is God becoming what? A human being. He had no earthly father. He was born of a virgin. Amen? And he came, not only became a human being, he became the sacrifice. He was sacrificed openly, publicly, for the sins of the whole world. Only he is the way to heaven. There is no other way. No other truth. And no other life. Jesus said, I am the way. And say, God so loved the world, whoever believes in him will not what? Will not perish. So if you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and you are not messing about, you mean it from the bottom of your heart, you are saved. Amen? Now, what do you say? Well, what if I sin in my life? You repent. So long you are in Christ, you are what? You are saved. The only thing that can unsave you is if you go out of Christ. And you can go out of Christ because you still have free will. You can say, I'm done. But so long you are in Christ, you are what? You are saved. But the fact that you are saved does not mean you'll be rewarded. You're only rewarded for the things you do. Amen? Say, I believe in Jesus. Come on, let's do that. Say, I believe in Jesus. I have received him as my Lord and my Savior. Therefore, I am saved. Right now, I have eternal life. It's not a guesswork. You see, in Islam, they tell you that, you know, if you do good works, if your good works are more than your bad works, on judgment day, God will weigh it. And if your good works weigh more than your bad works, you go to heaven. No, 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 no. Some people say, oh, who will go to heaven? Say, I'm not sure. No, no, you can be sure. You can be sure if you are going to heaven. If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you receive him into your life and make him your Lord and your Savior, yeah? The Bible says that you are saved. Hallelujah. So someone asked me, so where are you going when you die? I know. I'm not even planning to die, by the way, and I'm not going to die. I'll be raptured. Because I know that the rapture is near. And that's what I'm convinced. But by the way, I know exactly where I'm going. You know I know I'm going to heaven? Because I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. Now, if you don't know whether you're going to heaven, make sure today. Make sure. By accepting Christ and giving your whole heart to him. Then you can be sure. You don't need to be uncertain. You can be sure. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of death. Jesus Christ conquered death. I'm on my way to heaven. Whichever way I win. Say whichever way. I win. Because I'm in Christ. Whether I have money or no money, I win. Hallelujah. Whatever happens, well, I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. He's the way. Okay, let's move on. Okay, I think I have like 12 minutes more. Now, I'm going to go deeper. Let's read. 2 Corinthians. Open your Bible. Please, open your Bible. Children, there's still more money here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Someone to read. Someone has not read today. Oh, by the way, I forgot the answer. The lake of fire, yeah, is definitely physically different from hell. Because he said they were cast. He said death and hell, he said, were what? Were cast. So the lake of fire is the outer darkness. Huh? The lake of fire is not on earth. Hell is on earth at the bottom. But the lake of fire is some planet away. Because the ungodly will not the ungodly will not stand at the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The lake of fire is not in the new earth. It's outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? So let's explain that to you. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Can we read it quickly? 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Yes? 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Please follow your Bible. And then we have this question. Go for it.
Praise the Lord. For if there was glory in what?
No. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, not 2. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15.
For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation.
You see, Jesus Christ is the one and only what? There's no such thing as born again Muslim. The Muslims say Jesus is not the Son of God. That means no heaven. You don't understand. If Jesus is not the Son of God, you cannot become a Son of God either. Because Islam says God has no Son. So you know what that means? No salvation. If you cannot become a Son of God, you cannot be saved. Because what saves you is because you become a Son of God. Are you with me? I'm not criticizing, I'm just telling you the word of God with all humility. There is no other foundation that can be laid. The only foundation is who? Jesus Christ. Because he's the way and he's the truth. And it's what? You know another thing that Islam says? I'm not criticizing, I'm just trying to show you the word of God with all respect. It says that Jesus did not die on the cross. If Jesus did not die on the cross, then you cannot be saved. Because there's no sacrifice for your sins. You see, there's no other foundation that can be laid. It's not just, it's like every other false religion denies that Jesus is the way. Other religion says, Jesus is a way, but there are other ways. But Jesus is just said, I am what? The way. No one. Somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father. Jesus said it. He said, no one. No what? No one comes to the Father except through me. So the spirit of the Antichrist is a spirit that says Jesus is not the only way. Praise the Lord. Continue reading.
Can be laid.
No other foundation can be laid except Jesus Christ. Continue reading verse 12.
Some will use gold or silver.
No, you're jumping. Verse 12 now. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Okay, verse 11, sorry.
For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation.
Yes, continue.
And no other foundation can be laid.
No other foundation can be laid, continue.
Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation.
Some will use gold and silver and precious stone in building on the foundation. Now, those some are us. It's talking to believers. This has nothing to do with unbelievers. Unbelievers are not on the foundation. You with me? Unbelievers are not saved. So they are not what? They are not building on the foundation. When you get saved, Jesus becomes your foundation. Some will use gold, silver, and precious stones. Continue.
Others will use wood or grass or
straw. Others will use what? Wood. Grass or straw. Grass. And?
Straw.
Straw. These are all believers. We are all building. We are all building for Christ. You know how you build for Christ? Yeah? In your service to Him. In your obedience and your service. Every day of your life, you are building something. So just say, every day of my life, I'm building something. That's the old truth. Hallelujah. In that walk, there's no break time. There's no sabbatical. Every day of your life, even when you're on holiday, you are building something. Hallelujah. Continue.
And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes.
So at the judgment of believers, which is after the rapture, the resurrection, all what we have done in our life will be tested with fire. Everything you said, everything you did, everything will be tested with fire. Everything, every single thing you did in your life will pass through God's fire. Remember, in this judgment, there are no unbelievers, only believers here. Continue. Continue.
For on that day, fire will reveal everything.
We'll finish it within 5 minutes. Continue.
For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work.
Yes.
The fire will test it to show its real quality.
The fire will test your work for its quality. Continue.
If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if your work is burnt...
If what you built with your life, all the things you did, all the things you said, if they are of good quality, you get what? Reward. But if it's not, let's just stop there. Question now, quickly, is... So we're rounding up gradually now. What happens at the judgment of believers? Quickly. Yes, go for it. You want to go for it? What happens at the judgment of believers? Okay. Anybody? £1? What happens at the judgment of believers?
They're judged according
just to... Just believers now, yeah?
Yeah. They're judged according to their will and what they've done. So some people in heaven, they're going to be like servants. And some people are going to be masters. Depending.
Yes, that's true. I think that's a good answer. Can you improve on it? What happens at the judgment of believers? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That we receive our reward for everything done in our earthly body. What happens?
Well, everybody who's a believer will go to heaven.
Yeah, we said that already. Yeah. Judgment of believers, they're in heaven.
Yeah.
There's no unbeliever there. What happens?
Depending on how much you have dedicated your life to Christ.
Depending on how much you've dedicated your life to Christ, yes.
And how you studied the Word of God and how you have become close to Him.
Yes.
And have touched other people's lives.
And have touched other people's life for the sake of the kingdom, yes.
Yes. Then God will reward you in heaven. So the more you've done, the higher
the more you've done, or the greater the quality of what you've done, the greater the reward. Yes, that's a better answer. I take it. Yes, one more. Yes. What happens at the judgment of believers? The last one there because of time.
I think in short,
yeah.
Everyone will be judged according to their faith.
Faith? No? Your works, you mean?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Your works will reveal
your faith.
Your faith.
Amen. Yeah. You know that it's true to it in a sense. In a sense, it's not so. In a sense, it's true. It's your faith that took you to heaven in the first place. You got to heaven because you're a believer in Christ. Your faith in Christ will take you to heaven. But your faith has quality. Because faith without corresponding actions is what? Is dead. If your faith is really genuine, it will produce good works. Hallelujah. If you have a genuine faith in Christ, you will live to serve Him. If you don't have time to serve Him, your faith is diluted. Let me not say contaminated, it's diluted. Hallelujah. The deeper my faith is, the better my works will be. Does it make sense? Now, you can't just go up and just do things for God. God will not reward. I give that price to Chichi. Is a good answer. God will not reward every work. For example, I keep telling you, I said, if you come to me now, you give me what I didn't ask you or what I don't like. I can't reward you. I'm sorry. If I say thank you to you, I'm just being polite. You give me something I don't want or something I don't like. Yeah? No matter how much effort you used to make it, like maybe like Sister Ronke makes a nice cake. Very nice. He spent 7 days making this cake. But the only mistake that it turned out to be chocolate. Huh? Then she came to give me and said, oh, I'm just giving you this because I just appreciate you. I will say thank you to her. That's politeness. But I will not go to reward her for it because I don't like chocolate. Okay. Do you understand? You don't choose what you give to God. You listen to what He's asking you to do and you do it. The works that God will reward are works of obedience and service. In fact, I should do better. Works of faithful obedience. Because obedience also has class. You can be obedient but just wishy-washy. Or grudging obedience. Yeah? Or half-hearted. You know Ananias and Sapphira? They sold their property, yeah? But they held back. So God will reward works of faithful obedience and quality service. Okay? This is what will happen. So God is not judging believers to see whether they will go to hell. No. They are already in heaven. Their faith in Christ saved them. But He will reward it. What I want you to understand is that Jesus said many times, He said, great will be your reward.
He also said, who does this will be least in the kingdom. So there are rulers in heaven. Now let me make you understand. The final heaven is not up. The heaven up now is a waiting area of comfort and rest. The final heaven is down. Because the heaven is coming down. The new Jerusalem is coming where? Down. On the new earth. We will live physical lives again. On the earth. As it was in the beginning. In that physical life on earth, which is only believers, there will be rulers and there will be servants. There will be. That's why I talk about crowns. Crowns represent authority. Crowns represent authority. So remember this. You know, someone say, oh, if I can just make heaven, I don't mind if I'm a servant. Anybody said that? Anybody thought about that? Let me explain to you. When I was growing up in Nigeria, and we used to hear about UK, and how, when I was growing up in Nigeria, every now and then, the electric power goes off. Especially when we're watching our favorite football match. And then we knew that, oh, this does not happen abroad. So then I used to think, well, if I can just get abroad, you know, life will be much better. It's like heaven. UK was like heaven to me when I was in Nigeria. So I don't care, even if I'm the least best thing. Let me just get to UK. But when I got to UK, I found out that there are still people who wash the toilets. In the UK. Amen? So don't misunderstand. The heaven there right now is a waiting area. It's full of comfort and rest. But heaven is coming down. Your reward is your status forever. You can never change it. If based on how you live your life on earth, what you got was to be a servant. Yeah? That's what you will be forever. You can't change it. You can't apply for promotion. The only time you can be promoted is now. Based on what you do now. So I want us to take our lives seriously. Because your reward is your status. Say to yourself, my reward in heaven is my eternal status. And let me tell you something, it's not too late. Let me round up because of time. He said, what are the materials you can use to build for good reward? There are three materials in the Bible. Three materials you can use to build your life and you will get a great reward. What are they? Tell me them and give me the Bible verse. You know, the Bible says that if you build with gold, silver, or precious stones, there are some three qualities in the Bible, three virtues, three values in the Bible that correspond to gold, silver, and precious stones. What are they? Hello? I want to build my life and make sure that my reward is great. I need three things. Three things. If I build my life based on these three things and I commit myself to them, I will have a great reward. It's in the Bible. What are they? Gold, silver, precious stones. Any other person? Let's try. Let's be fair. Any other person? Just tell me three things only. Only three.
Love.
No teaching. What?
Love the word of God.
Say that again. I can't hear.
Love the word of God. And
love the word of God.
And faith.
What?
And faith.
And faith. Yeah. Two. One more. One more.
The Spirit.
Okay. I will just stay there. I'll give you this prize because you got two answers. Yes, Bratella. What are the three things you can build your life with? And give us the Bible verse for £1.
I have faith, love, and hope.
Yeah. Put your hands together for Bratella. Please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Yeah. I'm busy. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Anybody wants to read it for me? 1 Corinthians 13:13. Anybody there? Yes.
And now there remain faith, abiding trust in God and His promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, unselfish love for others, growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choices, graces, but the greatest of these is love.
Okay. That was a long version. Give me King James or New King James. 1 Corinthians 13:13. King James or New King James. Anybody?
New King James. And now, abide by faith, hope, love. These three things. But the greatest of these is love.
Now, if you read that from, thank you. If you read that from New Living Translation, it says, three things will last forever. Somebody say three things will last forever. That means they cannot perish. They are imperishable material. Three things will last forever. They cannot perish. They cannot end. And those three things that will never perish or end are what? Faith, hope, and what? So if my life is being motivated by faith and motivated by, that's why, you see, if your life is motivated by fear, you're likely not to get much reward from God because you will not do what God told you to do. Amen? If your life is motivated by fear or selfishness, you will not obey God. Faith, hope. Hope, you know what hope involves? Perseverance. There are some things in life you have to persevere. The fact that you are persevering something does not mean anything is wrong with you. It means that you have a higher purpose. Amen? You are persevering through something. You are enduring something. Something you could have, you know, showed your muscles. You are enduring because of Jesus. It doesn't mean you are weak. It's because you have a higher purpose. Yeah? When you are being persecuted, what do? You endure. You persevere. Hallelujah. Then love. Love is not like love. Being unselfish. That's the love of God. It's not selfish. When you build your life based on faith, hope, and love, it's quality material. Quality. God will reward you on this earth, and your reward in heaven will be what? It will be great. Okay.